thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
How many are thankful for his presence in this place this morning? Amen. Thank you, Father. You may be seated this morning in his presence. How many were excited about coming to church this morning? Amen. I don't know where you've been this week. Maybe this week's been a little challenging for you, but I can tell you this, that despite those things, how many knows it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. And so I had an anticipation and expectation of being here this morning and not just being with you, but being here in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And I believe that as scripture says, he dwells in the praises of his people. I believe that he is here this morning. Amen. And I believe that the Holy Spirit has already been at work and he's going to continue to be at work as we dive into the word this morning. How many knows that life indeed often does bring us challenges? It brings us moments where our faith is tested. Amen. You see, whether it be sickness or terminal illness, from lack of food to maybe it's a lack of finances, from struggles at work to maybe it's unemployment, from family dysfunction to complete family destruction, from marital disagreements to divorce. And the truth is, we could probably this morning easily continue to add things to such a list as this, but that's not our goal this morning, amen? You see, in this current season of COVID and confusion, it is seemingly easy for us to fall into and focus on all of the things that are negative, on all of the negative situations and the negative struggles that we're facing, whether that be, again, as individuals this morning, or whether that's within our family or friend circles, whether it's within our community, and most assuredly today, even within our country as a whole. It isn't hard to get distracted and lost inside all of the current madness. How many, you don't have to look far to see insanity anymore. You see, if that is left unchecked, if that's all we're experiencing, if that's all we're focusing on is the negative, is those things of just chaos and confusion right now, if those things are left unchecked and unrestricted to just fill our hearts and our minds this morning, what happens is those things begin to steal away our promises of joy and peace and rest and hope, amen? But how many knows that we have been given those promises and many more today to lean on? How many knows we're supposed to think on those thoughts? Amen? Those things that are above this morning. But should we as Christ followers be caught off guard when these and countless other oppositions of life begin to happen? When things happen that are discouraging, that are distracting, that are disrupting, should we really be all that surprised that those things are transpiring in us or around us? You see, Jesus reminds us in John 16 and 33, he said, in the world you will have tribulation. He didn't say you might run up against some stuff. He said, in this world you will experience tribulation. And what he said when he said that was, he was basically saying that you will indeed experience opposition, oppression, affliction, distress. And you're going to experience those things to the degree that at sometimes those things make you feel like you have been confined or restricted and that you no longer have options. But can I tell you this morning that we still have options? Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, we still have options. You see, because in that same scripture, Jesus goes on to tell us and remind us, but take heart, I have overcome the world, amen? Look at your neighbor and say, hey, take heart, Jesus overcame. You see, this morning, we still have options. Are the oppositions of life real? Yes. Are they very present and often maybe present in our lives? Yes, at times. And I'm not trying to take that away and say that those things don't exist this morning. But the greater reality for us, the greater reality for the Christ follower, the greater reality for the church this morning is that there is one who has already overcome all opposition. Amen. You see, and it's because of Jesus Christ that we have the option to walk through this life and through every opposition that we may face, because we have been given some things, amen? We've been given great and precious promises, amen? We've been given his power and his authority. We have been given his blood and his name to operate under. We have been given the indwelling, interceding, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, giving us, his Christ followers, the opportunity, everybody say opportunity, to live victoriously as overcomers in spite of opposition. But again, it is opportunity. And how many knows opportunity knocks, but we don't always respond? This morning, if as a Christ follower, you're not living in victory, even through opposition, it's because you're not taking advantage of your opportunity this morning. You see, I believe that's why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write what he did to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. Let's go there this morning together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, "And though we had already suffered greatly in Philippi, where we were shamefully mistreated, we were emboldened by faith in our God to fearlessly preach his wonderful gospel to you in spite of the incredible opposition." We were emboldened by faith in our God to fearlessly preach his wonderful gospel to you in spite of incredible opposition. This morning, we need to understand that Christ followers live boldly in spite of opposition. Christ followers are to live boldly in spite of opposition. You see, it's not only that we live boldly when everything is going good or it's in our favor, because how many knows it's easy to live bold when we're on those mountaintop experiences of life, when the sun is shining and there's not a cloud in the sky? But what about those moments when we're in the darkness of the valley? What about those moments when we're in the middle of the storm? Are we still able in those moments to live boldly, even when everything around us is seemingly falling apart and caving in? Opposition. Opposition should never remove our ability to rejoice and give God all that he deserves this morning. Opposition should never paralyze our praise. It should never paralyze the power of God that lives and works in us. Opposition should never cause doubt to overshadow our belief in who he is. Opposition should never cause us to doubt our relationship with Christ or cause us to separate from the body of Christ. You see, this morning, opposition should never create a lack of expectation in our lives, because God is and forever will be the God of the impossible. Amen? You see, opposition should never incite fear for the Christ follower. Opposition should never incite fear for us, but instead it should embolden our faith. Opposition this morning should embolden our faith. Paul said, "We were emboldened by faith in our God to fearlessly preach his wonderful gospel." You see, the boldness that Paul is describing is a freedom or a frankness of speech, to be able to speak openly and to speak fearlessly without constraint. How many knows that it's okay to speak the word of God boldly this morning? Amen. Now, I'm not talking about chewing people up and spitting them out, because how many knows we are to speak and to preach the word, but we're to do it in truth and in love. Let's say love a little louder this morning. Okay, just so we got it. You see, what Paul was really saying was this freedom, this fearlessness, this frankness in delivering the truth and the message of the word was there regardless of the circumstances that were surrounding them in that present moment. What Paul and Silas understood is that the reality of their present pain, their present pressure, it did not remove or alter or undermine or shift or replace the reality of who God had been, who he still was in that moment, and who he was going to be the next day, whether they were still in chains or not. You see, we need to understand that also it doesn't reduce or invalidate the truth and the power of his word when we face opposition. Oh, well, I'm going through this hard time. This must mean God's word isn't true. He must have lied to me. He must have been mistaken. Come on, how many knows opposition does not remove the truth of God's word? It doesn't remove the power of his word, and nor does it cancel or revoke the calling that God has placed on our lives to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Like Paul and Silas, we too have been called to live with emboldened faith in spite of opposition this morning. We've been called to live in a greater, in a different way. You see, the word opposition, or maybe your translation this morning renders it conflict or contention. All of them are the Greek word from which we derive our English word for agony. Agony is never fun, is it? You don't tell a story and say, hey, you know, the other day I was having this really good moment of agony. I was agonizing over this and it was just great. We don't, do we? You see, agony is not something great, because this describes a struggling with dangers or annoyances and or obstacles that have a specific job. And their specific job is that they stand in the way of faith, holiness, and the desire to spread the gospel message. And so sometimes we face those things, and it's those things that keep us from living that Christ follower life and fulfilling the Christ follower mission. But how many knows, again, we're called to live boldly in spite of opposition, amen? Again, opposition cannot change the message of the cross this morning, can it? I thought I was in church. I said the opposition cannot change what the cross has done. Correct? Jesus still died. He was still buried. He was still resurrected from the grave. Amen? It can't change that this morning. You see, opposition cannot confine or limit the power and purpose of the blood that was spilled for you and for me at Calvary. Opposition this morning cannot challenge an empty grave and a risen Savior this morning. Opposition this morning cannot change the very fact that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in you and me this morning and has empowered us for purpose and for kingdom service. You see, we may agonize. We may indeed struggle. We may battle. We may even war against things that oppose our faith, with things that may oppose our choice to strive to be holy as He is holy, with things that oppose our desire to spread and share the message and the mission of Jesus Christ with others. But those things that oppose us do not have the power to overcome us. Come on, church. Those things that oppose us do not have the power to overcome us this morning. You see, our prayer must be for emboldened faith. Today, in 2020, where we stand, our prayer must be for emboldened faith, because knowing that opposition will attempt to discourage, to create fear, to frustrate our purpose, to fight against us, and to cause confusion, we must pray for emboldened faith, amen? In Acts chapter 4, the church was facing great opposition, and it was just in its beginning days, but they didn't run and they didn't hide. They didn't back down or sit down. They didn't retreat to a position of silence. They went to battle through prayer. Do we have a church that knows how to pray today? Come on, they went to battle through prayer. Acts chapter 4, we're going to read verse 29, 30, and 31. Listen to 29 and 30, because this is part of their prayer. It says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I want you to notice this morning that their prayer is for a greater ability to operate within their scope of ministry. It wasn't, "Lord, bless us." Shoot, it wasn't even, "Lord, let us be able to have the ability to heal and do signs and wonders." What they wanted, what they prayed for, was boldness to continue to speak the word of God. Why? Why was that crucial in the moment? I think it was crucial because they knew that as they preached with boldness the truth of God's word, God would then honor His word, and He would be the one who stretched forth His hand and brought the healing and performed the miraculous and the supernatural. They knew it wasn't up to them to bring the results. They knew it was all about just preaching the word of God in truth. You see, this morning we need to stop worrying about the blessings. We need to stop worrying about whether or not is this person going to immediately be healed when I pray for them? How about you just speak the words of life? How about this morning the church just speak the word of God and let God do what God does best? Amen. Do we as the church today have enough spiritual grit to honestly pray for boldness? Because when you pray for boldness, you better be ready to be bold. Because God's going to call you up and call you out. And that's not something to create or incite fear this morning. That should embolden our faith, because he's going to give us opportunities to let his love and his light shine through us in ways that we yet don't understand or know. You see, do we have enough spiritual grit to pray for boldness? Do we as Christ followers have enough spiritual desire and tenacity to proclaim the power of God's word in a world full of opposition? Do you know what the enemy of our soul is not afraid of this morning? The enemy of our soul this morning is not afraid of a namby-pamby, selfish, milquetoast Christian who refused to grow up in Christ and go out in Christ. He has no fear of a Christian like that. He sits back and says, my day is going to be much easier than it was yesterday. But do you know what he does fear? Do you know what the enemy of our soul is afraid of? He's afraid of a blood-bought, sanctified, passionate, empowered, faithful Christ follower who will be bold enough to pray for boldness and then live and walk in that boldness when God pours it into their life. That he is afraid of this morning. Why? Because we're something? No, but it's because of the power of God living and working in us. How many knows he fears the name of Jesus Christ this morning? Amen? You see, he fears a Christ follower that stays connected to Christ because he knows the exact same thing that we're supposed to know as the church today, and that is that we can do nothing apart from Christ. He knows that. And so he wants us to stay in that type of a relationship to where we know him, but we're not connected to him. Because it says that when we abide in him, he abides in us. And the benefit thereof is that we bear much fruit in him. But apart from him, we can do nothing. You see, this morning, how many knows we need to stay connected? We need to abide. You see, because when we abide, that's when we become productive and effective and powerful within and for the kingdom of God. At some point, church, we have to wake up, we have to grow up, and we've got to start living boldly. Why do we need to pray for boldness? Why do we need to live boldly? While there are undoubtedly this morning many correct ways to respond to and answer those two simple questions, I felt the Lord lead me to two simple reasons as they relate specifically to the situation and suffering that Paul was writing about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, which if we look, we find that written account of it in Acts chapter 16. And so I want us to go there for just a moment this morning to Acts chapter 16. And we're not going to read all of it. I'm going to try to give you a little bit of a summary to get you to where we need to be this morning. Basically, Paul and Silas were longing to go to Asia to preach the word of God, but the Holy Spirit would not release them to go. Every time they attempted to, he said no, and he would point them a different direction. So as they continued in ministry, Paul was basically given a vision which called them to go instead to Macedonia to preach the gospel. So as they began to minister there in Macedonia, there was a slave girl who was essentially a fortune teller and who was demon-possessed. And she began to follow them and cry out, mocking them as they would preach. And this went on for days. And so eventually Paul, he had enough of that. And so he cast the demon out of her in Jesus' name, and immediately the demon left, but so did her owner's income, and that didn't make them very happy. So outraged, they dragged them before the city officials and had Paul and Silas beaten with rods and thrown in prison. There was basically really no questions asked. There was no trial, just, again, as Paul wrote, shameful mistreatment. You see, opposition. No, don't go to Asia. I need you to go to Macedonia. Oh, and P.S., when you get there, you're going to be mistreated, beaten, and imprisoned wrongly. Now, God didn't add that part in, but I'm sure that Paul and Silas could have maybe felt that way. Maybe they felt like they had been set up. Anybody ever felt like you've been set up? Anybody in ministry ever felt like you've been set up? Maybe just me? Okay. You see, but instead what happens is it appears like they just remembered the simple truth that Jesus taught, that in this world you will have tribulation, but they also remembered the other part of that scripture that said, take heart because I've already overcome the world. You see, they were placed in the innermost part of the prison with their feet put in stocks. They were beaten. They were shackled. They received no medical attention, no food or water. Yet they had, in that moment of extreme opposition, emboldened faith. In that very moment, when things were the worst, the hardest, the most difficult, the most unjust, they still somehow had emboldened faith. Things hadn't gone the way that they had planned, but that was okay because for them, even in that moment, they understood that God was still on the throne, that there was still breath in their bodies for a reason, so they were going to make sure that God got all the glory no matter what happened. Can we do that today, church? Can we still put ourselves in a position to that no matter what happens, we still make sure that God gets all the glory? Or do we need to complain and have extra years in the desert? You see, there were two specific things, again, that stuck out to me. Two things that Paul and Silas did that as they lived boldly in spite of opposition. And as a result, I believe this morning that we are responsible to respond in these same two ways as we also live boldly in spite of opposition. The first thing is this, that in spite of opposition, we are to give God praise. In spite of opposition, we are to give God praise. If we look at Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 25, it says, "And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns." Wait a minute. They were beaten. They were whipped. They were chained. They were shackled. Why were they praising God? Because they had emboldened faith that knew God was still God, right? So at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. You see, they weren't found in that moment, again, complaining or questioning God or bad-mouthing God or giving up and surrendering their faith. You see, they were found praying and praising God. What is our first response when we hit opposition? Do we abandon ship or do we dig our heels in and say, "God, I'm going to praise you still"? Where are we at on that spectrum this morning, church? You see, Christ's followers don't throw in the towel when faced with opposition. They lift their voices in strategic prayer and they raise their voices to unleash the power of praise. That's our job. That's our responsibility in this process of life. Amen. Why? Why do we need to do that? Why do we need to make sure that in spite of opposition, we're giving God praise? Why do we need to make sure that in spite of opposition, we're still dedicated to that element of prayer? I think there's two simple reasons. Verse 25, the first reason says, because others are watching and listening. It said, and the prisoners were listening to them. How many knows that your life, whether you know it or not, has influence? And so when you give up and you quit and you pout and you look miserable and sad in the face of opposition, how many knows that's what you're presenting to others? You're presenting that living in Christ is weak. You see, we have to understand today that whether we believe it or not, we are influencing other people's lives. So let's influence them with praise. Let's influence them with prayer. Let's influence them with overcoming opposition. Amen? Secondly, because praise breaks chains and opens prison doors. Somebody say amen this morning. It says, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Not some, not just the good guys. God in that moment opened every door and broke every chain. How many know sometimes your praise might not be just for your freedom and deliverance? Come on, sometimes your praise opens the prison door for somebody else. It sets them free and allows them to experience and encounter God in a new and a real and a different way. So you see, in spite of opposition, we are to give God praise this morning. Secondly, in spite of opposition, we preach salvation. In spite of opposition, we still preach salvation. If we go further, verse 27 says, when the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. How many knows it's a miracle all by itself that every chain was broken and every door was open and every man was still accounted for? You see, verse 28 says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then they brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. How many knows that in that moment they could have said, you know what, we don't feel like preaching. I don't feel like testifying. I don't feel like being a witness in this moment. Don't you know what we just went through? As a matter of fact, you were part of the process. But yet in that moment, emboldened faith would not allow them to miss an opportunity for a heart that was open. And that one heart led to an entire family. Come on, how many knows this morning we have to be emboldened in our faith, because it may start out with just one heart, but it could lead to a whole family. Come on. Church, that should excite us this morning. You're looking at me like I'm preaching something foreign. This should be a common concept in the body of Christ. Souls being saved, households being won to the name of Jesus Christ should encourage, inspire, and want us to go out and do more for his kingdom. You see, they were still in prison. They were experiencing physical pain from being beaten, but none of that could deter them from preaching the message of Jesus Christ. Will our opposition deter us this morning? Will it say, you know what? I guess this just outweighs the truth that God gave his only son. I guess today this storm, it just overshadows the fact that, yes, Christ did die on the cross for me. I appreciate that. I know he went through a lot of suffering. I know he overcame the grave and all that. He has keys to death and hell, whatever. But this storm, come on, look opposition in the face and say, nah, I know who my God is this morning, and I know what he's called me to do. Will we be responsible enough, emboldened enough today to preach salvation to the lost, to the hurting, the broken, the forgotten, or anyone else who is in need of the message of Jesus Christ, in spite of what we may be facing in those moments of ministry? I can tell you firsthand that I don't wake up every day just like, woo, you're a pastor, you get to, no. Dude, I've got a target so big on my back, it's got its own zip code. If you think the enemy doesn't fight me, you're crazy. If you think I don't face opposition, you're crazy. But I've learned in this process that it will not steal my praise, and it will never steal the message of Jesus Christ that is living inside of me. Amen. Christ followers pray with boldness. We battle through prayer. Get that in our hearts. The tenual. Amen. You see, Christ followers preach with boldness today because somehow we still believe in the midst of all of the chaos and we preach that because we believe that. Because Christ followers live boldly in spite of opposition. You see, church, we have to be strong and courageous, as the word tells us. We have to be unafraid, undismayed this morning. Not because opposition doesn't exist, but because God is with us wherever we go. Do you believe that? If we believe that this morning, we need to stir up the gifts of God that are within us. We need to begin to live in that spirit of power and love and self-control. And we need to stand up in the face of opposition and confidently, you know what? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got this not because of me. I got this because of him. He's leading. He's guiding. If you would stand with me this morning. Will we pray for emboldened faith? This morning, I can't pray that prayer for you. Now, I pray that prayer over you, but I can't pray that prayer for you. So will we pray for emboldened faith? Will we faithfully pray and praise even through our present opposition? Will we relentlessly preach the message and mission of Jesus Christ in spite of opposition? I'm going to tell you something that's really stupid and almost probably meaningless. But originally in my notes, I had capitalized opposition. At every point through my note, I had capitalized the word opposition, no matter where it was in the sentence structure, which I know is not proper English. But all the way, when about halfway through it, when I was going over again Friday and was praying about it, that stuck out to me that I had capitalized it. So it's kind of like the Lord said, hey, why did you capitalize that? Start capitalizing me. Don't capitalize your opposition. So I went back through my notes and I lowercased every O. Because today he is greater than any of our opposition this morning, amen? You see, in times or seasons of opposition, we cannot, as a collective church or Christ follower, hesitate. Instead, let us understand the necessity of living with emboldened faith as we are actively dispatched into kingdom service. Today, we have an option and we have a choice, but will we take part in that option this morning? I want you to pray with me for just a moment. And as we pray, I want you to search your heart. And today, if you are praying for emboldened faith, it doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong or that you haven't been doing something right. It just means that you understand the time and the season of life that we were in and the responsibility that we have to God for his kingdom service. So I want us this morning to honestly take a moment, and I want us to evaluate where we are in situations of opposition. Are we bold enough this morning to pray for boldness? Father, I thank you for your word this morning. God, I thank you that even in the toughest of times, God, in the most difficult moments of opposition, God, you have given us every resource that we need. God, you have thoroughly equipped us, God, to still face and battle and combat in those moments. So God, I pray that as we are gathered here this morning, Lord, to lift up your name, as we're gathered here today to glean from the truth and the knowledge and the power of your word, that Father, you would in this moment begin to stir our hearts. God, challenge us like we have never been challenged before. God, convict us. Lord, if that is what it requires this morning, for us to leave those things, God, that are unlike you aside, God, so that when we face opposition, we're not torn. God, we're filled with tenacity to move forward. God, I pray that today our hearts would have a desire for emboldened faith. I ask for that in the name of Jesus Christ today. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to come and surrender your life to him today. Allow us the honor and privilege of praying with you and leading you in that salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you've just been playing the kind of the role, the life of the prodigal, he's waiting, he's watching, and I guarantee you when you make that step towards him, he's gonna be running to you this morning. If that's you, we wanna urge you to come. If you need prayer of agreement for anything, we wanna urge you to come. But this morning, more than anything, I want you to find a place to pray this morning, church, and begin to pray. Now, don't pray it if you don't mean it. But this morning, if you feel the Spirit moving and stirring in your heart, I want you to find a place to pray and begin to pray that God would embolden your faith. You don't need any more faith. He's already given you enough. But let us have the boldness to use it as he calls us to. Amen? This morning, let's be dedicated enough to say no matter what we're facing, we're gonna pray, we're gonna praise, and we're gonna preach. And nothing is going to change that. Nothing is gonna stop that. If you would, I want you to find a place to pray and let the Holy Spirit begin to work in your life this morning.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.